I'm Michelle.
I'm Chris.
And I'm SP from the Starling Tribune,
a podcast member of the Gonna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeek.com.
And get ready because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Finally, no more drop calls on the lunar surface. Is the end nigh for audio streaming services? Does Sega really do what Nintendo don't? And much more. So grab your spoons because the soup is served. Welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast brave enough to release all three hosts just in the hopes of signing Kirk Cousins. Sorry, guys, we're out, man. They're hoping to get Kirk Cousins to replace us.
Yeah, I'm Googling who that is right now. Hold on.
I'm Googling.
Kirk Cousins is a quarterback for the Washington Redskins that just hit the free agent market.
Number one free agent, they're saying, too. So if the Vikes can grab him, man. But yeah. I don't think they should release all three quarterbacks. I thought that was stupid.
Did you know he went to Michigan State?
Yeah. I do now.
Thanks, Google.
They'll re-sign, if not Keenum and Bridgewater, they'll re-sign one of the two.
Why? You didn't say Bradford, man. What's up with that?
Bradford's gone.
Oh,
Welcome
come on,
man. To the
man.
Digital Soup Sportscast.
Coming up next.
My name is Balls McGillicuddy.
Sup, Balls?
My balls? Aren't you Sticks Gypsum?
Basketball Net Jones.
My name is Jason.
My name is Key.
Oh, that's the greatest right there. He probably does do that after. Never mind. He doesn't do that anymore, right? He's clean and sober. Anyways, again, my name is Jason. Joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and consistently Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Hey, it's consistent. Dave is the most consistent member of this podcast by far.
I don't know. I do my best. Although I sound like a hot steaming turd tonight. I'm dealing with this cold, so... bear with me, listeners, but I'm here. I'm consistent.
I really don't think there's anything hot about your turd, dude.
You had to go there, but anyways, moving on.
Twitter finally added its most requested feature, guys. For a long time, it's been frustrating that there wasn't an easy way to save a tweet or a link for later reading within the app. Well, that wait is over. Because Twitter's rolling out a new feature called Bookmarks, and it's finally going to allow us to save those interesting tweets and links for later consumption in an efficient manner in the app, which is kind of awesome. So you don't want to read that entire thing right now? Bookmark.
Right.
So it's not a groundbreaking feature by any means, but...
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but this is one that... I mean, like you said, it's a very small update. It's a very minor thing in the scheme of things, but... As someone who's used Twitter, I think I've been on there since 2008, something like that. And it is frustrating because I follow a lot of photographers and different people like that where they'll come out with a tutorial or a tweet with a quote I like or different things like that. And it's always kind of frustrating trying to find a way to save those so that I can reference them later or read them again. Or, you know, whatever I want to do, share them with friends later.
Dave? I thought you wrote the URL down on a post-it note.
Yeah, Dave? Right.
Okay, Dave? Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah.
Screenshot?
It's not the same, man. Because you want to click that link that they put, you know?
Click it or tick it. Am I right?
Yeah. And so with this, I'll be able to just save it. I mean, I've used Pocket, that app called Pocket, for a long time as my read later type of app. A friend of mine recommended it to me when I first got my very first iPhone 4, I think it was. And, you know, that's a great app, but it doesn't play well with Twitter. You can't just share that stuff over. And so what I would end up doing is when I'd see a tweet from someone I wanted to save or an image I wanted to look at later, whatever it was, I'd end up retweeting that and direct messaging to myself. And then you're scrolling through this old direct message, you know, folder where it's like, what the heck was I sending messages to myself for? And you forget what's going on. And this, I think, is just one of those functions that should have been there from the beginning that will make things just a lot more enjoyable, I think, in the Twitter space at this time. So
well done, Twitter.
Kudos.
But I do have one question for you, Dave.
Right.
Well, what does Bill Belichick have to do with this? Did he write this feature in? Yeah. Click your link, dude. For some reason, there's a huge picture of Bill Belichick.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just the thumbs up that is rare that he's smiling or something. But that is funny. I wonder why they use that image.
Yeah. As I was trying to figure out, I was reading through the article. And let's see, is this requested from him? Did he make this happen?
Someone at this website did a quick search for thumbs up photo.
Yeah, and probably didn't even realize it was the crabbiest coach in the NFL that just lost the Super Bowl. That's awesome.
So let's just go back here a little bit. You said that you would DM yourself the links and stuff because you couldn't save it.
Yep.
Were you and you've been sick lately, so did you do any DMing while you were BMing?
No. No. No.
Because I like to DM when I BM.
Yeah, that's good. It's a lot of information.
Well, I mean, you're on your phone when you're BMing, and then if you're DMing, I bet you have DM'd when you've BMed. You tell me right now that you have never DM'd while you BMed.
I have never DM'd honestly. While I BMed, honestly.
Okay, whatever.
I may have retweeted, but never a direct message.
Hey, do you think...
I'm sure it was louder than a tweet.
Do you think the Don's DM'd while he's BMed?
I don't know.
Probably.
Hashtag DM while you BM. Get it trending.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go, SP. This one's for you.
Are streaming music services about to go extinct? And why did I say music like that?
Music.
You decide. Music.
Why did you say music like that?
I don't know. I have a hard time thinking they would, but...
Well, if you read the article, you'll see some kind of interesting stuff going on here that we didn't, at least I did not understand about it. I've followed the story is recent here. This is actually today, so it's very recent. Can you get any more recent than today?
Tomorrow.
No, that is future, dude. That's impossible.
So recent.
So this is an article over on USA Today that I came across here, and I thought it was quite interesting. As we all know, I mean, we understand this because I think all of us are like this. I think Dave said he bought a few, or Adam did say he bought a few, but the majority of us do not purchase music anymore, be it either on a physical media or even digital downloads. It seems like everybody is just subscribing to one service or the other because they have just every month you could buy one CD, or you couldn't subscribe to a service and just have everything. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing. But as this article points out, this is actually not a very profitable business, especially for the artists. What it's doing is, I mean, you're charging a low amount of money here. You're charging, what is it? I just looked it up today. Spotify is $10 a month for unlimited downloads, unlimited skips, etc. So you have just a wealth of music available to you for $10 a month. You got to think, you know, yes, you're going to have multiple people, you know, multiple thousands of people subscribing. But
would you
still,
say you have a plethora?
A plethora is a good word. I do enjoy that.
Tell me, Jason, what is a plethora?
But how do they break that $10 up amongst the thousands of artists? And some of those artists have, you know, dozens of albums available. So how are you breaking up this $10 amongst all of them? It is not very profitable. And that's what this article is saying, is that people are streaming via Pandora, Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Music, and Amazon Prime Music. And look at Amazon Prime Music right there. You get an Amazon Prime account. It's about $100 a year, and you get two-day shipping. You get unlimited streaming from Amazon Prime Video and Prime Music. As a report here, it says that the business has been treacherous, at least when it comes to turning a profit. The latest here, Spotify is filing for U.S. shares. They're going on the stock market here. While at the same time, it says iHeartRadio is moving ever closer to bankruptcy, according to two different reports. So streaming is great for us. It's great for the individual user, but it's not great for the companies. They're not turning a profit, and it's not great for the music industry because they're not seeing any good residuals. They're seeing, you know, nickels and dimes here. I just saw I can't remember what show it was. It might have been an SNL skit or it might have been something else, but they were all excited because they got their first check from... I think it was supposed to be like Pandora or Spotify. One of those two. It wasn't our Heart Music, but they're like, yes, we're rich. Now we can go do this. And they open up the envelope, look at it, and it was like $3.06. So yes. that was what they made on it. And, you know, that's of course a joke there, but you know, it's probably not that far off. I mean, they're probably not getting $100,000 checks here. They're probably getting, well, this month they got $1,000, et cetera. I mean, this is nothing you can live on. This is not what these artists were making when everything came out on CD. They made so much more money, so much, you know, a bigger piece of the pie when it was actually on CD. Am I correct, or am I just talking out of my BM
maker? No, that makes sense.
Maker.
It always used to be that the mindset was that when artists would go on tour, you know, they made most of their money from their album sales, but so much of that was taken on a single album sale. You get X amount of percent going to the production company, to the distribution, to the marketing, and the artists weren't really making a lot from the sale of a CD as it was, or a vinyl record, album, whatever it was. Where they make their money is on tour and with their merchandise and any brand stuff that they have tied with it. You know, if they're, you know, signing an endorsement deal with Ernie Ball guitar strings, or, you know, whatever it is. And that's where they're going to make their money, in the commercial side of it. The CD sales are, yes, a revenue stream, but they're not the primary revenue stream, from what I've always heard looking into the music industry back, especially when I was younger and was thinking about trying to make a push as a musician full time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was always all about getting that tour where you could get the, you know, I mean, I was never on a big scale like that, but trying to get a cut of the door, trying to get paid from your live shows and the merchandise you were selling. And so, I mean, to me, yes, these companies, it is true that a place like Spotify, you know, it's kind of baffling how they make money when they've got to pay all these royalties and everything else. But at the same time, I don't know that the marketplace today will allow there to be no large streaming service like this, you know, as far as something with the variety of like a Spotify or a Pandora or iHeartRadio, something like that. You know, it might not be those specific companies. Maybe they'll fold, or something will change, or they'll get bought up by another one. But I think they'll figure out a way to do it, because I just think as listeners and consumers, people, you're going to have to try and convince them to start buying physical media again, or at the very least buying the media from somewhere like iTunes or Amazon. And I think it's going to be a hard sell to convince people to spend, you know, $15 on a new album, or a dollar or two on every song they want.
We have to recognize that times have changed. At the major streaming services as of like the end of 2017, Spotify is like the third cheapest as far as how much they pay artists. It's like a third of a 1 cent per play.
Right.
Whereas like Napster and Tidal are over 1 penny each. Google's about 60.6 of 1 cent per play. So of course the free services are going to be advertising, and that's how they're making up for some of their stuff. The paid services, obviously they're getting some money there, and at those prices, based on how many plays people are doing, unless you're streaming all day long, they're really making money off you.
Right. And the important thing
there, the artists aren't getting a lot. Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, Spotify, I know that, you know, everyone looks at their $10 a month plan, but one of their big pushes, which I don't know if this was smart by them or just great for consumers, but you can pay something like $15 a month and get what they consider kind of a family plan, where you can have up to four different accounts essentially in there. Where, so, you know, like myself, my wife, and my two kids could each have their own Spotify sign in with their own playlist they follow and everything else. And that's like $15 a month with still the premium, unlimited everything. And so that's another area where they're really pushing, because they're getting more money anyways, you know, from that. In the reality, being in a family situation, I mean, you're probably going to have one person that really listens to the bulk of it in a household, you know, when everyone's together, and then the other ones, you know, occasionally. But I think you're going to see too, I know Spotify is looking to go, if they haven't already, they are looking to go public with you know, take their company public on the stock market. And that'll change things a lot too, because then they've got investors, they've got, you know, shareholders and stock and everything else. That's another revenue stream for them. So
right. Well, so doing a little bit of math here, in order for them to break even, basically, if you pay $10 a month for your streaming service, and Spotify is paying 0.0038 cents. You are basically, you could play 263,157 songs to break even.
Mm-hmm. So they're actually ahead.
Yeah, because you're not playing that, you're not streaming that many songs. You know?
But
so go ahead.
What I was going to say is doing a little research here, and especially from this article. This article does go more in depth into the actual money. With the losses and everything. Now, let's take a look at Pandora. It says it's been struggling to turn a profit since its founding in 2000. The ad-supported service, which has more than 75 million monthly listeners, so that's at $10 a pop, lost $518 million in 2017. It just replaced its founder and CEO with new management and has been paring down to basics after shedding itself of its ticketing unit. Not exactly sure what that means. But it lost $518 million in 2017. Let's go to Spotify, which does say it's the number one music subscription service, if I can say my words correctly. It generated $4.5 billion in sales last year from customers paying $9.99 a month to subscribe to its unlimited premium service.
Wow.
Now it lost more than its losses. It had more losses than double the year prior. So it says it's squeezing its gross margin to 21% though, but $4.5 billion in sales.
Wow!
All right. Now you got to then divvy that up to all the labels. So and I'm not sure how many songs Spotify has, but I'm sure it's a pretty penny that has to go to them. So it says 21% is their gross margin. So 21 cents on every dollar basically is what it's saying. 21 cents on every dollar is what it profits, which, I mean, it sounds pretty good. I mean, I know at my work, we usually pay out about 22% in food cost out of all of, our profit. 22% goes to food cost. So I could kind of see where that's going there.
But gives them about $945 million in profit.
Yeah. And the important thing there is the last sentence there in that paragraph. We're reading an article over on the USA Today website.
Let me just quick, Dave, correct that, because that doesn't, this is just the money paid to music labels.
Yeah.
So that doesn't include their operating costs, their employees, staff, that kind of thing. So anyway, go on.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say is that this is showing, 90% of their profits or sales was made up of the monthly subscriptions is what they're saying. And that loss, like Jason said, it more than doubled from the year earlier as it paid more money to music labels, which and what they're saying is it squeezed their gross margin down to 21%, but that's still up from just 14% in 2016. So they still saw growth of what is that 6-7% in over the last year, the last fiscal year. Mm-hmm. I think they're a company, especially if they go public, you'll probably see them stick around and hang in there with the likes of Google, YouTube, which I know is mentioned in this article, which I don't know, man. They talk about YouTube and how many people are listening to their music on YouTube and just letting videos play in the background. But to me, that's such a clunky way to listen. I mean, anything you want to hear, you've got to look up individually. It's not really in the same category as something like Spotify or Pandora.
No.
Yes, it's a free way to get music, but it's not a true streaming service where you can go dial up a playlist or something like that.
It's actually most convenient off like a desktop computer.
Yeah.
And I've seen this happen at work where, if the streaming services are blocked but YouTube's not, you can find a music playlist and just minimize your window and you got your tunes.
Yeah.
Well, I found a new use for YouTube for music, and I've never been a person to look for music on YouTube just because there's so many other options out there.
Right.
And I don't normally want to just watch videos because I'm an old dude now. I don't watch videos.
Yeah.
But you know what it's convenient for? All of our phones connect to our stereos in our cars via Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
Just today I was driving around and my wife had never heard the song Thunder by Imagine Dragons. And my daughters love this song. So I'm like, all right, well, let's go ahead and Yeah, I'll play it for you real fast. So I did pull up Spotify and Pandora. I type it in, and it only gets me to a radio station that I can shuffle, and it doesn't bring that song up. I kept hitting skip until I used up all my skips, and it never brought it to that song, even though because you have to subscribe to be able to actually go to a song. So what did I do? I pulled up YouTube in the car today, and I typed Imagine Dragons Thunder, and boom, we're listening to it. So that's one aspect. If you don't pay for any of these services and you want to get right to a song right away, YouTube's the way to go, I guess. I mean, it worked out well.
True. And also, if something specific, you're going to find multiple versions of it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to listen to, say, the heavy metal version of Let It Go. You're not going to find that on Spotify. You're going to have to go onto YouTube and find that.
True that. Hey, let me ask you guys a question. What in the heck is Vero?
Is that Nero's cousin?
It might be. Cool. I'm not familiar with this. I've seen you guys talk about it a little bit just in our chats, and it's this new social app. So who wants to tell me what this is?
We're
going
to throw this over to Sick Boy.
Yeah, what up, Sick Boy? Check it.
That would be me, I suppose.
Not the wrestler.
Yeah. Vero
is... You guys
is,
remember Sick Boy?
Not really. No, I don't remember. Okay,
well, you'll have to Google that later. All right.
Yeah. No, Vero has kind of been popping up all over social media right now because... Basically, to kind of give you an idea of what's going on, maybe you guys haven't run into this, but I know so many people are frustrated with social media, be it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, because everything has gone the way of the algorithms. It's all just marketing and, you know, advertising, political stuff. And everyone's kind of getting so frustrated with the way that our current social media options are working. You know, your content, you put it out there, it's only seen by limited people because of algorithms. So this company called Vero put out their
app. Al again? God, he's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we said, he did invent the internet. So, but no, Vero is they're calling it Vero True Social. It's they're calling it the True Social Media app. It gives you the ability to, you know, not only control to a very fine-tuned setting of who you want to see the stuff that you're posting. You've got three or four settings, you know, things like close friends, acquaintances, and I can't remember what the other ones are. I just started looking into this last week before I got sick. And what it's going to be, it will eventually be a paid service. So they're going to keep it ad-free. They're going to keep it algorithm-free as far as what they're saying. And basically what they're doing is the first 1 million people that sign up, they will have a free lifetime license for the
but wait a minute
yeah,
I just went to Vero's site, and right now they're saying due to the large wave of users joining, they've had some technical issues, and so they're saying, given the service interruptions, we are extending that offer for the first 1 million users to have it for free for life to all new users until further notice.
Ah, good.
We'll confirm the start date and pricing of Vero subscription soon, but for right now, even if you didn't make in the million, you're free.
Good.
And, it's basically, it's something I should join up for now if I don't want to pay for it later.
I would, yeah. And that's what I did. Now,
but I want you to finish telling me what it is.
Yeah. And basically, I mean, it works a lot like any social media app. It's actually very clean and beautiful looking as far as the layout, the home screens, everything else. It gives you the ability to really control not only who you're sharing information with, but who can comment, who can see it, who you're allowing to interact with it. It handles everything from, you know, regular text-based posts to music, video, book recommendations, you know, images, photo sets, all of that. And what's cool is where, like for me as an alternative to Instagram, it doesn't do the stupid Instagram cropping anymore. You know, the downside is there's no desktop client for this. It is all mobile based, which for most people in today's day and age is no big deal. We're on our phones anyways, but it looks like they are really going after this to, you know, kind of give you a cross between everything from Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, everything all right here in one app. Now, it isn't perfect yet because it's still in beta phase, basically. And so there are some bugs. The app is crashing, and I don't think they anticipated the kind of outpouring of people that wanted to sign up for this, because so many people are frustrated and looking for that better solution to the social media game. And they got hammered with requests to join. I got in, I didn't have any trouble, but I know when I'm using it, the little bit I've looked at it, it will lose connection and things, and you got to, you know, let it reconnect and stuff like that. So if you sign up right now, just know there are some bugs as they adjust to this, you know, what appears to be overwhelming interest in their app. But it looks like it could be, you know, a pretty cool new social media outlet. Now, the problem is with any social media outlet, it's only as good as the friends you have on there, you know. And so because it's new, it's tough because you don't really know a lot of people. And that's why I think it's smart that they're, especially if they're looking to make it paid, that they moved off that million mark and now are opening it up, as you said, because that allows that many more people, lets the buzz continue to grow about this and get more people in there. So
they have companies on here right now. Are there, like, let's say Digital Soup wanted to put a podcast presence on there.
Sure.
Is it like different? Is the personal stuff different from the business stuff?
That I don't know. I know, what I was looking for is a way to, you know, since I guess a little pull back the curtain, a lot of our social media, not all of it, but a lot of it is pushed out by me, and we all kind of have a hand in that. No, it's not a bragger. It's just that it's kind of the thing I add to the podcast, and I try and keep tabs on our social media, but I couldn't find a way to add a second account, you know, like you can in Twitter and Instagram and just switch between the two. So I was telling Jason to look into setting that up for Digital Soup because it does require a name and
doing
phone
it
number,
now.
But you don't have to give your real name. You absolutely look like you could do that and share. I don't know if you can share episodes or how that would work, but we'll have to look into that. But you know, the one thing that has got everyone up in arms, and they're saying that you don't own your content. The terms of service are scary. And
thanks for getting us involved, Dave.
Nice.
Let me just kind of explain this a little bit from what I've seen. I'm no lawyer, but what I'm reading here, they do talk about how, you know, by allowing them, by signing up with the app, it allows them to use a limited royalty-free usage of your content. And everyone is posting that section of the terms of service, but skipping the second part of it that says they are not claiming ownership of your content. It seems like their terms of service are pretty much standard, that with everything you'd see from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the rest, because just by the nature of how these things work, where people can like and share things and everything else, they have to be able to do some of those things in there, from my understanding. So that remains to be seen yet in the long term. So of course, read those and make a judgment call based on your own feelings on it when you've read the terms of service. But, you know, it's one of those things that everyone looked at and everyone kind of freaked out at, but they didn't finish reading it, in my opinion. And so from what I've been able to see, it really seems like that side of things is blown a little out of proportion. So
now I have I have just installed it, and I have, the show is now in, awesome. We have our own account. So I'll mess with this. I'll see what it's all about here. Now, my next question here is, well, not really a question, but an observation. I've installed it on my iPhone. So, of course, I'm in the App Store. Now, is this only for Mac or is this for Android?
I believe
also?
It's for both iOS and Android.
Okay. So here's one thing I need to point out here. When you go to the App Store, it does say that there is 3.69K ratings. So that's quite a few people that have rated it so far. It has a 2.3 rating. Yep. So it is, that is, as Adam would say,
not good.
But keep in mind, like I said, it's in beta.
So I'm reading some controversy about like the CEO here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read anything about this?
Just a little bit, yeah. And I don't
people
know.
They're calling on Delete Vero to abandon the app. Questionable business practices before from the current CEO, where he owned a construction company. I'm reading this on the Daily Dot. He was a deputy chief executive officer, and there was a huge lawsuit, unpaid salaries, workers were reportedly forced to live in labor camps, et cetera, et cetera. It says the founder and CEO is Ayman Hariri is a businessman, billionaire, and the son of assassinated former prime minister of Lebanon, Rafiq Hariri.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his frustrated with the privacy issues and behavior on other social network sites, he and his co-founders hired a team of Russian developers to bring Vero to life. Yeah, sure, we want this.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that's kind of the last part of this where everything, as soon as it came out, a lot of this information came out, you know, talking about the founder and CEO. How much, I guess I don't know how I feel about that, because a part of me is thinking, well, how much is he involved with it? Or is he just someone saying, yeah, this looks like a business opportunity. Let's go ahead and write a check to let this company do something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How much of this is, you know, going to impact anything with the app? I don't know, you know, and that's something where, you know, like I said earlier, everyone look at it, read those terms of service, do your research on it and look at it. But
there's actually press and media, a link on Vero's website where they have an article about questions about the CEO remain.
Sure.
That they're highlighting. So even the company themselves are looking at
what
the heck is going on.
I think this came, a lot of that came out. I haven't seen anything on their website. Like I said, I've been out of the loop for about 4 days, 5 days now with this sickness, illness, whatever I got here, this bug. But I know last week, though, when I had looked into this, there was nothing out there showing on their website that I saw. So it is something to keep an eye on, but it could be, you know, depending on what shakes out with all that and how the app starts working and if they can get their stuff together, just a interesting alternative, possibly, if you're frustrated with the rest. But you know, you got to look at it and see what you feel about it. And, you know, at the end of the day, like with anything, I mean, we don't ever really blindly endorse something. We're kind of here just to say, hey, here's something new that's happening in the world of tech, I guess you'd say. And being that there is so much frustration, this one has been taking social media by storm and you see it popping up everywhere. So I thought it was good to let everyone know about it. So,
all right. Well, I'd say definitely, I think I could speak for both of you, is we'll kind of, you know, we'll let everybody know our thoughts on, you know, Dave has an account. We just started a, you know, Digital Soup account. So we'll see what happens with it, but we're not going to recommend anybody just go out there and, you know, start putting up all the pictures of your kids.
So they don't
own, kids
they, will they own our yet. Content then? Is that what I heard?
Well, I don't think so.
That's good.
I
hi, we now own Digital Soup. No, all right, guys, let's get Kirk Cousins in there. Get these three.
Yeah,
in.
And I think the way service. I approached it, I went in and I shared one photo on there.
They own it.
Just to see how the sharing process worked, but I haven't done any more because I'm kind of waiting. It's buggy right now. It's still in beta and it's not finished, basically. And so I haven't done much with it and I got sick. And for me, I kind of looked at it and thought, well, as a new app, it seemed like there was a ton of people in there. There are some big names in there as well. And I thought, well, might be worth getting that free account and getting that set up and, you know, having things in place in case it does blow up and turn into the next Facebook or Twitter or something like that, just so you've got your foot in the door with an early adoption thing. But that's not to say that I'm dumping everything and jumping in on this wholeheartedly. I mean, that's something that I'm just not an early adopter of stuff like that as far as, you know, jumping from one thing to another. So
yeah, a lot like Frogger.
Ribbit.
Wow,
it was pretty good. That was pretty good. I give it a solid C.
My joke?
Yeah.
Or what? A C for my joke.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Sorry, I didn't even hear the joke. I apologize. I had to hit mute there. I was coughing. So,
oh, that would explain it was so dead silent. That's why I gave it a C because nobody laughed.
Yeah.
I'm going to move that up to a B+.
All right. Well, just don't move it to a G and throw me on the moon or anything.
Heck no, because you can't get a signal up there. Or can you? Hey, I want to know more. 4G cellular coverage on the moon? I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, here comes Nokia again.
Our silences are hilarious.
Oh man,
it's like I tell a joke, you guys don't say anything. At Dave tells a joke, nobody says
it's
anything.
It's not a joke. Nokia is part of this.
Hey, next year the moon might be getting 4G.
Sweet. I hate when I visit the moon and I have no cell coverage.
This guy knows what I'm
it
talking
just
about
sucks.
Funded by Vodafone, which is providing the 4G network, and Audi, it's going to mark the first ever privately funded moon landing, and they're going to launch from a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. It sounds like they want to set up a network out there.
You know, and that's awesome because that's the one thing that has kept people from colonizing the moon is they get no coverage.
Yeah, they couldn't colonize the moon. You were supposed to be quiet for that joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's try that again. They couldn't call and I was the moon.
Cricket, cricket, cricket. Can I just say cricket? Does that yes. make sense?
Now, cricket. What you might be wondering what the point of that would be. Researchers exactly. want to be able to communicate, transfer data, and access HD video from Audi's Lunar Quattro rovers and setting up the communications groundwork for future moon missions. So they want to be able to have this network set up so when they're on site with their gear, they can stay connected. So
now I'm no scientist, as you guys probably do know, but I've heard that there is high levels of radiation on the moon. What does radiation do with, you know, like radio waves or however, you know, like, again, I'm not a scientist, so I'm assuming this is radio waves, you know, does that radiation in movies disrupts radio waves. So in real life, does it do the same
thing? Well, actually what happens is that when the radiation hits the sine wave, it boosts it and amplifies it to the 40,000 hertz mark, which actually gives you basically LTE coverage in a 4G environment.
You know, that sounded really plausible. I think, you know, let's give Dave...
Well, I will start by saying radio waves are a type of electromagnetic radiation. It's a, you know, sweet. That's the kind of energy that also includes visible light. Would other radiation interact with it? I don't know. Maybe if it's on the same wavelength, but that's a really good question. I'm not sure.
SP, we need it. We need SP to let us know, weigh in on this. And the thing to me, yep. out of this whole story, I mean, as crazy as it is that they're looking to put 4G coverage on the moon, it makes sense why, because they want to be able to stream HD video of these rovers and really explore the surface of the moon and everything else. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing is, did you see the part that this hardware itself that will be set up there, this communications groundwork, each one of these little modules or whatever you want to call it, it weighs less than a bag of sugar. So what is that? Less than 5 pounds?
Sweet.
I mean, these tiny little things all over. Why can't they put those here on Earth instead of these giant towers that still give us dead spots all over the place?
I tell you what, it's because them tower companies got a monopoly on towers.
Yeah, I like my towers.
Nobody's encroaching on my tower business. Where are them greenies at?
Where's Shatner? Hey, question here for you, Dave, because you are our Marvel geek boy here. I have a question because somebody brought this up, and I don't know the whole story and everything about Ant-Man. I mean, I know what I've seen, you know, so far, the different things about Ant-Man. But I answer me this. They said that no matter if he is full size or if he, you know, shrinks down to the size of an ant, he still has the same weight. Like, his mass is still the same as when he was right. big. Okay, and they used a point of reference for this to where, I guess, he shrunk down minuscule, but then he landed on a tile and he busted the tile. Yep. Even though he was the size of an ant, he busted the tile. But then in the same universe, the same world, a guy's holding a gun and he's running along the gun. Now, you have a 250-pound thing on the end of this gun and it didn't make him drop it to the ground.
Because it's a movie.
Yeah.
It would have been really hard to shoot if they made him look like he maintained his weight the whole time.
Right.
But isn't that a little bit of a sloppy writing there?
I don't
know. Yeah. Because, well, you can also think about it this way. If he got really big and expanded like he did in Civil War, he'd still weigh 200 pounds.
And I was just going to bring that one up, too, because he's crushing stuff. You would not crush a plane if a 250-pound guy fell on it.
Well, let's not bring reality science into Marvel.
You know what? No, if they're going to do this, they're going to do it right.
Hey, you know what's interesting? New York Times is saying this plan isn't as sure as they're making it sound because they are not meeting deadlines, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They're kind of skeptical if that's going to actually happen.
Yeah, and it sounds like what they're skeptical of is the timeline, because they were hoping to have this happen in 2019. And so it sounds like they're a little thinking the timeline is a little bit ambitious, but their idea sounds solid and what they want to do. So, but something very cool. I mean, when we look at it, I mean, SpaceX, of course, has to be involved, because what isn't Elon Musk involved in? I mean, I saw he had a new cereal out even recently, it seems like. But no, I mean, it's...
Musk berries?
Yeah. Musky charms?
Ah.
Golden musks?
Ah. That sounds like a cologne that you found at the dollar store.
It works.
Golden Musk.
50% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
Guy that hasn't showered.
Yeah.
Hey, now, here's a quick question for you on this story here. Now, we man landed on the moon in 1969.
We man?
Allegedly. Landed on
the moon? We man. No, yes. We man was...
The guy from Jackass?
That's what I was going to say. Dang
allegedly.
I had to say it. I'm just kidding, though.
We have not been back since.
Right.
But now, all of a sudden, aliens. We're going to put cell service on the moon. Mm-hmm. It's like, can we take baby steps here? I mean, it's not like, okay, we haven't been there in, what is that? My math is fading me. That's, 50 years? If they do it in 2019, that's 50 years, right? Is my brain working right, or is that 60 years?
I'm just letting you dangle out there to figure 40. Out the math on your own.
That's 60 years, isn't it? Oh my God! Well, anyway, it's a lot of years.
That's
50. So it's 50 years.
Don't you think we should have visited the moon again and done something else with it?
You mean for the first time?
We all know the Earth is flat. Come on.
My name's Dave.
Oh yeah. Well, let me just say this though. When they talked about putting a man on the moon initially, that was a bold step. They had never done that before. So why dream in baby steps? If you're going to dream to do something, just dream big and do it. Let's not.
It's
why
one small step for man, but it's one giant leap for mankind.
I mean, my question is, why mess with 4G? Let's go straight to 5G. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this going.
Let's turn the moon into like an advertisement platform. So every time you look at it, you got rotating ads.
What was your snack that other episode? Snacky something?
Snacky S'mores. Brought to you by Snacky S'mores.
Yeah, put that on the moon.
Why not? Why not?
I say
actually put
it.
Snacky S'mores on the moon or just an ad?
No, like a big giant neon sign. Mm.
Well, why don't we just use the moon as a canvas and we just project movies on it?
Well, yeah. I know from Doctor Who that the moon is actually just the egg of a big giant space dragon. So
true.
I thought it was made of cheese.
Oh.
Well, that's what Wisconsin would have you think. Yeah,
exactly. Conspiracy, I think so. I think so. Hey, what year is it, guys?
2018.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So why does it seem like it's 2013 for Jason?
I don't know, because I actually died back then, and it's just been my ghost haunting the world.
How does your ghost interact with your computer to press the buttons to get on this podcast?
Have you not seen Ghost? I have to get really angry, and then I can
violently
kick the can,
press
man.
One button.
Wait. You're modeling yourself after Ghost, so I want to know who you are making pottery with right now.
Now I... Oh, wait. Is that the same movie?
Wrong movie.
Okay, but it was another...
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, there we go.
He was great in Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Yes.
In Roadhouse.
Yes.
Now, what Dave is trying to hint at here, or Adam, I'm sorry, I get my co-host incorrect all the time.
That's because you don't care. But anyway, go on.
Is that it is the year of the PlayStation 4, is it not? It's 2013. It has just been released, I believe, in November.
Ah, perfect. And so you got a PlayStation 4 is what this headline is.
Yes, now I have gone back in time to get one.
Hmm. All the way
so
to 2013.
So you found the fountain of youth.
Yes. And actually, I don't have one of the originals. What we're joking about here is I finally upgraded from a last-gen system to a new-gen system, to a current-gen system, I should say. And as I put in here, I thought it would be funny to say, no, I did not travel back in time to stop my future killer. I got a PlayStation 4. But that would have been way cooler of a story for this podcast.
So how do you like the PlayStation 4?
Amazing.
Cool.
Absolutely. All right, next story. No, it is. It's a very amazing system. I actually did not understand the power of it. You see the pictures, you see some videos, etc. But until you actually play something on it, it like freaking blows your mind. Like I had Xbox 360. I had, I believe it was Madden, the 25th anniversary edition. I think that was the last one I had, something like that. And then you jump to PS4, Madden 2018. Oh, my God, Becca. It is amazing.
That was good.
Thank you.
I want to hear more people use this line that you just did. That was great.
Yeah, that was like the perfect blend of, Baby Got Back and that crazy looking girl on that meme that's like, Ermagerd.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to play it back because you're like, Ermagerd, Berker. Look at her bird.
Ermagerd,
look at her bird. You're sure bird.
Yeah, your bird.
Look at her bird.
Look at her bird.
No, it is amazing. Hey, and, sorry.
Look at her bird.
Who's Bert? I got to know who Bert is. Is that Ernie?
Special friend.
Yeah. Or didn't they, one of them die or something?
I don't know.
Oh, I swore I heard that. I mean, I haven't.
I'm almost 40. I haven't watched Sesame Street in ages.
I'm almost 50 and it's been about a week. Anyways.
Do you let your kids watch the TV too?
Any television?
Never mind.
Just not. Kids, leave me alone. It's Sesame Street time.
I'm learning my numbers, colors, letters, and various shapes.
Oh.
Two peanut butter sandwiches. Or something like that.
Near?
Far. Oh, yeah. No, it's near? Far. Yeah. Near? And then what was those aliens are like?
Nightmare fuel.
Nightmare fuel.
Oh, those things scared the crap out of me. Anybody out there with me?
Yeah. Snuffleupagus also scared a lot of children, I heard. Didn't scare me.
Fun fact about Snuffleupagus, that was a nickname of mine at one time. A coworker of mine back when I worked at the radio station, for whatever reason, he started calling me Snuffy, Snuffleupagus, and then he just shortened it to Gus after a while. I'm not sure how it got started, but he thought that was hilarious.
So let me put this out. So Dave's in his office, whatever office he's in.
He's Snuffy.
Well, not his current one, we won't say it, but he's at his job and everybody's calling him Gus, right? Because it just carried on. So then this new guy starts, right? And this new guy has been calling you Gus for about a year. He's not new anymore, but for about a year, the new guy was calling you Gus. And then one day somebody calls you Dave, and he's like, what the heck? Well, that's my actual name, so why they call you Gus? Well, they called me Snuffleupagus, and then then it was Snuffy, then it was Gus. And this guy's like,
Basically,
my God, you're not my friend no more.
This was a job like 10 years ago, 11 years ago now.
Fun fact, guys.
Anyways.
Oh, I thought you were you're going to continue a story and then it just stopped.
No. That was like 11 years ago. It's not like it's happening with coworkers now. In fact, this guy is the only guy. Still, when I see him, I bump into him now and he's a friend of mine. And he right away, Gus, how's it going, Gus? And he loves it. So. And I don't mind it. He's a pretty good guy. So.
And this consistently Dave guy that we have on the show here, he actually goes by a lot of nicknames because, I mean, I knew him as Swizz. That is what everybody called him when, you know, I first met him and stuff was Swizz. Yep.
That was my nickname all through high school and college.
What's the reasoning behind that one?
People couldn't say my last name.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
Hi, my name is David Swiduck. Hey, what's up, Swizz?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, teachers, everybody, that's what everyone called me by. Even today,
the teachers.
If I bump into one of my former teachers somewhere, they don't say, "Hey, Dave, how's it going?" It's Swizz. How you doing, man? That's what happens. I don't know.
Swizz. All right. Well, let's jump back to 2013 here real fast because I just wanted to say now Dave laughed at me, and I think Adam probably chuckled a little bit, you know. But the reason why I got the PS4 over to say an Xbox One, and it was because of one game. And this is why they're laughing at me.
The miracle game.
So I am one of the most hugest, and I mean, Adam and his kids, they could just shut it because they're not as big of fans as me. I love Minecraft. I'd always, you know, when I first came across Minecraft, and yes, I've been playing it way longer than Adam. Adam, did you know when it was first come out, it was in beta and stuff? There were no skeletons. There were no mobs at all. You just ran around building. That was it. Huh. That's how I first started playing Minecraft.
Well,
and then they
you introduced me to the game back when you visited Minnesota last time around.
I know, pretty awesome, aren't I?
It was like 6 years ago. So anyway,
so, I mean,
getting
all
your Minecraft, I was first credit. There you go.
Thanks, man. I got my Minecraft cred. Yep. My Minecred. So I purchased it for my PC. I purchased it for iOS, purchased it for Android, Xbox 360, PS3, and I haven't decided if I'm going to get the PS4 version yet or not. Oh, I do have it on the Wii U also. We can't forget that. So I have given, what's his name, the guy that created it? Now I can't remember. But I've given the guy a lot of money. Microsoft now owns it now, so I've given them some of it, but a lot of money. So anyway, let's fast forward a little bit, and didn't even know this game came out, knew nothing about it, and I saw it was trending on YouTube one day. It was, you know, a game video trending, and it was for a little game called Dragon Quest Builders. Now, dude, I'm also a big Dragon Quest fan. I'm going to tell you, I played the first two Dragon Warriors on the 8-bit Nintendo, and then these guys will also tell you, you know, if you ever ask them, I don't know, do you listeners ever talk to us? No, you don't. Talk to us once in a while. You know, talk to us on our Twitter. Talk to us on our Facebook. Talk to us on our, you know, you can leave comments right on our digitalsouppodcast.com. You could leave little comments on there and stuff. But anyways, I have purchased almost every single Dragon Quest game on Android, and some of those are $20 a pop. Have I played them? No, I've played the first one, but you know, I'm getting them all because, you know, I'm a collector. You know, I got to catch them all. So, oh wait, that's a different game. But anyways, Dragon Quest Builders is amazing. It has the stylish graphics of Minecraft, but they're refined. And your character is actually this. Okay, it's made by Square Enix, you know, Dragon Quest, Square Enix. So awesome story. It's all questing. I mean, you're building this town. You're going on quests. You're collecting materials like Ark. You have to go out and collect materials to craft stuff to build weapons, armor, other crafting stations. All this kind of stuff. You're out there and you have to actually kill the blobs and, you know, the different characters and stuff out of Dragon Quest to actually get drops so you can craft stuff. Now, I know Adam is, his mind is like racing around. He's like, oh my God, I got to get this game too.
Sounds awesome.
It does, doesn't it? You're not just being facetious, are you?
No, it looks cool.
It is. It's a really fun game. It has great graphics, great music, and it's by Square Enix.
And it's only available on PS4, isn't it?
Nope, Switch.
Oh, okay. Oh,
PS4 Switch. So it was. I was kind of tossing. What do I want to get? Do I want to get a Switch, or do I want to get a PS4? I want the PS4 for two reasons. The first reason is I have my Nintendo covered. I got a Wii U and a 2DS, so I have all my Nintendo games covered right there. Two, this Christmas is coming out a game called Dave. We've talked about this, Adam. We've
what
watched
is it?
The video.
Days Gone.
Days Gone. Mm. It gives me anxiety just watching the video,
so
but that comes
it?
Out. And I'm going to get it. So,
but he's not going to get the new Spider-Man.
I never said that. I never said
that.
Yeah,
I know you. You'll
buy
everything.
But you're like super excited about it, and I haven't actually seen any video on it.
Watch it.
I will. Dude, you want one. Go get a PS4.
I heard Spider-Man's on the web.
I see what you did there.
Clever.
But that's about all we wanted to say was I finally upgraded. I'm no longer on the last gen. I'm on the current gen. But let's go one step further here.
Does your wife know you're on gen?
Yes. Oh, yes. I don't know why I said it like that.
Me neither. That's probably not appropriate. Sorry, everybody.
Jeepers.
Okay, but so let's go back. I got a PS4 Slim. I did not get the Pro because I'm like, I don't got a 4K television. Why the heck would I need it? You know, and I don't see myself in the future getting a 4K television. So anyways, long story short, Tuesday my 4K television shows up. I got a really good deal online for it.
Did you get your taxes back or something?
Well, yeah.
Nah,
I okay. mean, no. But it's a 43-inch Philips 4K UHD television with built-in Chromecast, which will be interesting now that I don't have Android.
Great.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wait. You could probably still cast from an iOS device, right, with YouTube, possibly? I don't know.
Who knows?
But anyways.
Don't know.
But anyway, so I'm going to be able to play this awesome 1080p PS4 on my 4K television. I'm excited.
Nice.
Excellent. Excellent.
No, it's still going to be good. But you know what? I've spoken for so long here. You know,
yeah.
I've wasted a lot of time.
It's pathetic.
Yeah. And wow.
Really? I'm just
now
kidding.
You just hurt my feelings.
Oh,
I know what's coming. I know what's coming. And before you do it, you said something earlier when you were yelling at our Twitter and our listeners for not talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I do need to say that I've been out, like I said, I've been out sick. I haven't been doing much online. And I just got done earlier saying that I usually handle most of our social media. That being said, Jesse, I want to call this out to you on Twitter. I saw you had sent a number of tweets the other day. I was basically in a cold or flu coma here, and I just saw those this afternoon, so that's why no one replied. So, Jesse, keep sending those in. We weren't ignoring you. But, Jason, what time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the farm. This week on the Geek Off, I'm going to throw, since Jason was talking a little bit, I just switched this one on the fly, but he was talking a little bit about some of the classic games, you know, with Dragon Warrior and all of that. I'm going to ask you guys who the king is in your opinion, and I want to know once and for all who wins. Is it Sega or Nintendo? And we're talking in the Genesis versus SNES era.
Ooh. Hmm. Okay, I thought you were going to say as of now, because that's quite easy.
Well, I'm going
to. Yeah, well, obviously.
The one that's still making systems.
Yeah.
I was always the Nintendo guy. I'm going to go with Nintendo on this one.
You were the Nintendo guy?
Yeah.
But Sega was huge in the Genesis era. There were several reasons why. One of the big ones is if you were a sports fan, you had to have the Genesis. The Genesis had a processor that had double the frequency. I believe it was the Super Nintendo was, I think, 3.58, something like that, and it was over 6 megahertz. I know, people laughing. 6 megahertz? my toilet is faster than that. I don't know. Do you have a processor in your toilet? I don't know.
Yes.
But anyways, so what I'm getting at here is if you were a sports fan, you had to go with the Genesis because, seriously, the game moved faster. So you had Madden on both systems. Madden did move faster on the Genesis. Every button movement, etc., it responded faster. It was a smoother play. Now, the Super Nintendo did have a better graphics chip. It could produce more on-screen colors at one time. But here's the thing with Nintendo. They had a better graphics chip. They had a better sound chip. As you can, if you ever listen to some Sega Genesis games, they did not sound very good. But their processor, Nintendo was aimed more for just the straight platformer and the RPGs, because that was what was huge over in Japan, especially the RPGs. Mm. You did not need a fast machine for that. All these sports games were coming out in the U.S. market, and they did not foresee the sports genre blowing up in the 16-bit era. In the 8-bit era, yeah, you had baseball, you had Tecmo Bowl, but it wasn't huge. It wasn't until that first Madden came out on the Sega Genesis that it really did explode the sports market. And that's the Sega Genesis was called, and I mean, you could pull up probably some articles that were released at that time. It was considered, and it was actually branded, the sports console. If you were a sports fan, you had to have a Sega Genesis. If you were an RPG fan, you had to have a Super Nintendo. I guess I don't know where to go with this. I think Nintendo Super Nintendo did outsell the Sega Genesis over the lifespan of the two systems, but the Sega Genesis did take the lead, and it did have a healthy lead because it came out before the Super Nintendo, if you guys didn't know that. Mm-hmm. It was released before the Super Nintendo came out, so it had a following at first. It came out, I believe, in 1989, and I think the Super Nintendo was 91, but if Adam can verify that while I'm talking incessantly here. Hey, I'm very passionate about this era of gaming because I really enjoyed this era. You know, I was 89, so I was...
You were 89 back then.
I was a junior in high school. Dave and Adam were still in their dad's sacks, and no. I was just... Oh, you weren't? 89?
No. So yeah, okay. Sega, the Genesis came out in January 89.
Okay, Super Nintendo?
November of 90.
Oh, I was a year off, but yeah, they did get there. They did have, you know, an almost lead, year lead okay. there or whatever.
All right.
So... That is that. I mean, that's for me. I think it was the Sega Genesis, and I'm sticking with that. What do you think, Adam?
I had the Super Nintendo.
So, and like an hour
and
ago.
I liked it.
Back in my day, I had Super Nintendo, and I liked it. I didn't like that weird grid pattern on the Sega Genesis boxes.
Oh, those boxes were so ugly.
The what?
Oh, the game Woody? Boxes.
No, the game boxes. like the game art itself. I mean, most of those boxes were just white with this ugly grid pattern on them.
The cartridge boxes. Right. I thought you were talking about the system box. I'm trying to think, what are you talking about?
The cartridge boxes. I mean, you look at the SNES cartridge boxes. There was some pretty sweet artwork on a lot of those.
No kidding. Exactly.
And I've got to say, I'm siding with Adam. I played a lot of Sega Genesis as a kid because I owned a Super Nintendo. One of my best friends growing up, who is a listener to this show, he had the Sega lineup. And so we would obviously, you know, switch off at each other's houses when we play. He'd come over to my house. We'd play Super Nintendo. I'd go to his and we'd play Sega. And sports games, I'll give you, they tended to be a little better on the sports game side, but just overall fun with a variety of different games. There was nothing that could beat that Super Nintendo in my mind. I mean, it had so many great games.
Hey, you know what? I was wrong about those boxes. That's the old Sega Master System.
Yeah, I was going to say the white boxes was the Master System. The Genesis, they were all black. I do believe they had type of a grid pattern on those too, but it was all black.
We're a little bit wrong, but even still.
Actually, why am I even thinking about this? I have like 27 Sega Genesis cartridges right behind me. Hold on a second.
Good for you.
And this is what makes compelling audio.
Another thing I don't like about Jason.
Remember that one time when he got... Oh,
he's back.
Hey, I had my headset off, so hopefully you didn't say anything bad about me. But I do have Sports Talk Football 93 starring Joe Montana and all 28 NFL teams in my hand right now. So what it is a completely black template with... Shut it with a square grid pattern going over the whole thing, and then the artist placed on top of it. So it's still it's like the Sega Master.
Oh, it does have a grid.
Yes, yeah. It has a grid.
Okay, Nintendo still wins. All right. Yep.
You know what?
What?
Chicken butt.
Oh boy, we're there. We are.
There was so much silence here. It was almost like watching Silent Bob.
Yeah. Did you guys see this? I'm sure everyone listeners have heard about this. But
yes, everyone listeners.
I can't talk. Everybody between you guys and the listeners, let's clarify that, has probably heard about this already. But this last week, personally, one of my favorite, not only filmmakers, but podcasters, is someone I've listened to since the start of his show, basically.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Kevin Smith. Not you. Sorry. Kevin Smith, our very own Silent Bob, suffered a massive heart attack after a live show between two shows and essentially was rushed to the hospital. Turns out he had 100% blockage of the Widowmaker artery, and thankfully emergency surgery was done. They opened things up. He's back at home. Seems a full recovery is expected, and things are all well and good. But I did link a video up where it was him from the hospital, actually, after the surgery, after the procedure, kind of talking about what happened and thanking the fans and everyone else. It's kind of a cool video. So go check that out, absolutely, if you haven't yet. You know, definitely thoughts with him and his family. It's scary. He's your age, 47 years old, I think, suffered this massive heart attack. And, you know, thankfully things turned out all right. And the people in his life got him, you know, forced him to go to the hospital when things weren't going as they should have. So, but it's super scary. And, you know, you look at this and you think how many great, you know, fun movies. Kevin Smith's never going to be known as this Oscar-winning director, but he's produced some of the most fun movies that I remember watching. Everything from all the way back, of course, to Clerks and Jay and Silent Bob and all that fun stuff. So just wanted to give a shout-out there. And when you watch that video, you're going to see it was kind of sickening that Chris Pratt, who was Star-Lord, he's been in Jurassic Park, super, super famous actor right now. He put up a tweet right away asking for thoughts and prayers and stuff for Kevin Smith, and he got just mercilessly attacked on Twitter for asking for that, which was ridiculous. And Kevin Smith addresses it in his interview or his Facebook Live video that I linked up here on the article as well. So go check that out. And Silent Bob, get better soon, man. We need some more Jay and Silent Bob in our lives, I think. So
definitely, yeah.
Disney Channel sent him over a get well gift that said "Get well soon, Kevin James."
Oh, jeez.
He posted a picture of it on his Instagram.
Jeez.
That's
so
awesome.
Disney Channel just won the prize for funniest gift when they sent these cookies.
Kevin James.
He said, last week I was telling the folks there that a certain percentage of people I meet always call me Kevin James. So this is an insanely well-timed joke on a tasty treat that I won't eat because I'm thinking about getting it framed instead.
He doesn't look anything like Kevin James.
So he told whoever was at Disney Channel that it happened, so they decided to send him one that says Kevin James.
They just
on
trolled
him. Yeah, that's pretty awesome of them. Nice.
That is awesome. When you listen to this video, if you watch the video with him, he talks about it, and there's a link in there, I think, also to he had wrote a tweet or something about it where he talks about when he realized he might be facing death and how he viewed his life and everything else. It's pretty moving stuff and pretty crazy to think about how you know people react in the face of something like that. So absolutely told it with his normal storytelling flair. So
all right, well, hopefully that tubby bitch gets well soon.
That's right.
Exactly. Hey, is it time for a little bit of a Gunna Geek?
It is. It is. And this week, so listeners, as you know, this is the time of the show we like to take just a moment and let you know that we are part of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network and point out one of the shows that are on there. I guess they now have over 25 shows, if I remember right, and they're continuing to grow. A lot of new shows coming in. So we're going to go ahead and tell you about one of the newer shows on here called the Intellectual Podcast, and their episode is called Oscar Predictions Part 1, in which they say join the Intellectual Podcast for the first part of their annual Oscars predictions. It's always an educational and rowdy time as David sits with his filmmaking friends to passionately debate the year's hottest films, which, as you guys know, they're over by now, I believe, but the Oscars happened tonight, so I'm kind of anxious to see if any of our favorite movies won tonight. But you can find more about the Intellectual Podcast over at GunnaGeek.com, along with a whole slew of other shows there from anything in the geeky realm or specific TV shows. There's so much there. Go check it out over at GunnaGeek.com.
Fantastic. You know what time it is. It's time for the weekly garnish.
It is. Now, before I go and blab on here, do you guys have anything that you had? I had made a note in the show notes. I had a couple ideas of what I was gonna throw up here. Do you guys have anything that you had come up with in the meantime?
We heard you might have been throwing up the whole week. So,
basically. So this week I want to talk to you about something called Pedialyte and how well. No, I'm just kidding.
It restores electrolytes.
No, I went straight for the Gatorade and lots of water and
oysters. Gatorade is better.
Yeah. No, what I wanted to throw out there, I had talked to Adam about this a little bit earlier this week, right before I got sick, actually. It is a book, actually, that I'm going to link up. It's called The Art of Mondo. And what this is, Mondo is
Calrissian?
A design studio. No, I'm gonna hurry up and throw the link, unless, Adam, if you want to grab it while I'm talking about this. But basically, it is a design studio where they go and they take all of your favorite movies, you know, the pop culture movies that we're all fans of, everything from Batman and Reservoir Dogs, all kinds of these movies. And they redo the movie posters essentially in these really cool kind of pop culture. I don't know how to explain them. They're kind of retro looking, but really super beautifully rendered graphic designed posters. And they've got a book out. It's called The Art of Mondo. I think I'd shared this with you guys in the chat. The book's like $50, but it's a huge book filled with these artwork of all these different posters. And it is just beautiful. And I don't know what it is about it, but if you're a geek, if you're a movie fan, I'm almost positive that when you look at this, you're going to find at least a handful of these images and posters that you're going to absolutely love, because they're just so unique and so beautifully done. They just they really scratch that geeky itch, you know, for movie fans, I think. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys this week.
Yeah, they are pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
Can I play off of that real fast here?
Yeah.
Because absolutely. As you were describing that to me, I mean, you did it in such beautiful words, Dave, that I pictured every image that you were talking about. And I thought about something here. What about the art of Nintendo? No, don't interrupt me, dude. Just listen a second. The same as what you just mentioned there. Picture Reservoir Dogs. Picture the scene, the slow motion scene where they just left the diner and they're walking in front of that brick wall, right? And it zooms up on each of them. How about instead of being the characters from that movie, it's drawn dark and gritty like that, but with Mario, Luigi, Peach, Pretty
sweet.
But yeah, that would be cool.
Don't interrupt.
And it, yeah, don't, dude.
Shut
up. I'm talking here.
But that would be awesome. A whole entire book of pulp culture stuff redrawn with the characters from Nintendo.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
I'd buy it.
All right, Adam, start working on that. All right, man.
All right. Well, let me just open Photoshop quick.
Right. I'm also, we've got the link on Amazon for this book in here for you. If any of you guys are interested in it, I do, like I said, I really, really want to get my hands on this. And as soon as I get some extra cash, I hope to pick that up. But I'm going to link up another website. It's over on IndieWire.com. And they've got a gallery of some larger size images of these posters that you can see as well. And go check the gallery out at the very least, even if you're not interested in picking up the book, because there are some amazing, I mean, everything. They've got the Iron Giant, There Will Be Blood. They get into some horror genres like Halloween and different ones like that. But I know the final image that I just, my favorite one in this little gallery they put up, Captain America Winter Soldier has an amazing one.
Ermagerd Burke, it's Captain America.
Yeah, Ermagerd. No, but it's there's this very sweet Batman poster for the Dark
A very
Knight
sweet
Rises
Batman, where, so he's like handing out a lollipop to a child.
Well, no, I mean, it reminds me of like the old film noir.
He's baking.
And they've got the Batman cowl and his cape. It's all dark. They've got kind of the nice font, but where the eyes are on the Batman cowl, it's actually the Batman symbol kind of inlaid in there, which is kind of clever because it looks like just the furrowed brow on the cowl. On the cowl, I should say. Mm-hmm. And so just
the Simon cowl
done. Yeah, right. Well, not good enough.
Cool. No. Well, people can check that out in our show notes.
Yes.
And it is that time, everybody. So I am going to send you over to digitalsouppodcast.com where you can find all of our articles. You can listen live. You can subscribe. You can find all of our social media links. Please interact with us on social media. We're lonely. We would love to hear from you, actually. It just makes our podcast better when we have listeners that have questions or comments, because yes, we like to include, as you guys know, your stuff in our show. So we would love to have you there. Of course, anywhere where you're listening to a podcast, you can find us. We are, we're out there. We're out and about. We're good to go. And we've got some other articles on our website, not just podcasts, you know, standard show notes and posts. We've got some reviews. We've got some other cool things. So be sure to check that out. I'm going to hand it over to Jason real quick.
All right. I was just going to say, and for Stephen Jondrew, we're out in a boot.
Out in a boot.
Very true. That's the process to get it done. I was just working with some consultants from Canada the other day. And that was one of the things that we were talking about. You guys say process. We say process. I'm like, cool. Awesome. Awesome, guys. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you listeners, we sure appreciate you, and we will catch up with you next week. Have a good one.
Take care, eh?
and I'm going to mustard with you guys because he's ketchuping with you.
Okay, hold on. Dave, let's be silent for that one.